Well, greetings to you all again. I trust that you're finding joy in serving the Lord and praising Him and giving thanks to Him even in the difficult time that we've been going through. Well, as I think everybody knows, our governor, Governor Kelly, revealed a new plan to open up Kansas, and it's in three, maybe four phases. And phase one means that many businesses and restaurants, and yes, even churches, can open up if we maintain the 6 foot, what I like to call the 6 foot stay away rule. And we've been this is the seventh Sunday, I think, now that we haven't had church services, but we're allowed to meet again, have church again, and so this week we will do that. We're going to go ahead and begin having a service this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. So this Wednesday night, May 6th, I believe, at 7, we're going to go ahead and have our prayer meeting and Bible study. And then this Sunday morning on May 10th, Mother's Day, we're going to begin meeting again at 10:30. So we'll have our morning service at 10:30. We'll not be having Sunday school class and no evening service that day. But we will have our morning service May 10th at 10:30. And we're going to do our best to follow the 6 foot stay away rule and the 6 foot social distancing rule as best we can. So we're going to try to keep everybody spread out as best we can. And we may have to block every other pew to do that. And we'll be setting up other chairs. And if we need to, we'll have overflow into the dining area where we have speakers and you can at least listen to the services. So keep that in mind, and we look forward to getting together again on May 10th. It's been a long time, but the time has come to begin meeting again. Today, May 3rd, is our 38-year church anniversary. We began the church on May 5th, 1982, when we had our first service in the 4-H building. And God was faithful to us. I was a 29-year-old kid back then, and we met for 4 years in the 4-H building until 1986, when we were able to buy the Nazarene building on South Ash Street. And God was so faithful to us there until He led us then to purchase the Elks Lodge in 2001, and we moved into the Elks building and 2002, and here we have been ever since in a continuous remodeling program. I just want to say that God has been so faithful to us over these 38 years. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:13 that if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. Or in other words, if we are faithless, He is still faithful. He cannot deny Himself. And God has been so faithful to us over these 38 years. That's when I think about the beginning of our church and 38 years of ministry at Wheatland Baptist Church. We just have to say, God is faithful. We have not been faithful, but God is always faithful. He is faithful. He's always faithful. He has always been faithful. He will always be faithful. He's reliable, trustworthy, dependable. He will never change. He has never changed. He has no need to. He says, I am the Lord. I change not, in Malachi 3:6. He couldn't change if He wanted to change because He's perfect in every way. He cannot deny Himself. If He were unfaithful in any way, even in the smallest manner, He could not be God. But He is God. And therefore, He is faithful. He cannot deny Himself. He cannot be who He is not, like you and I can. He remains faithful, even though you and I are fickle and and we're fickle and changeable and undependable. We make promises that we don't keep. We make commitments that we don't carry out. We live our lives with great inconsistency. And yet, even if we believe not, even if we are unbelieving or faithless, that does not in any way hinder him from continuing to be who he is, the faithful God, who will always keep his promises, always provide for me and you, always protect me, always bless me, always convict me, always chastise me, always keep me. And he that is faithful will do as he has promised, and then he'll take me home to heaven one day. For he says, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And because he's faithful, he's going to do what he promised. We read Isaiah 25, verse 1. O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones come as a storm against the wall. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. Isaiah 25, 1-8. And then Lamentations 3:22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And we say amen to that. Great is God's faithfulness. And he has faithful mercies available to us every day, every morning, for he is faithful. Now, as you know, there are 365 days in a year. I think so. And we've had 38 years of ministry, 38 years of history of Wheatland Baptist Church. That's 13,870 days. I got to thinking about that. I've probably been unfaithful or unbelieving an average of at least 5 times a day. So if you figure it out then, I have shown unfaithfulness to God and unbelief approximately 70,000 times. Now, it might be better to say I've been unfaithful or unbelieving 10 times a day, and that would mean that I've been unfaithful and unbelieving for 140,000 times. Yet, through all those times, give or take several tens of thousands, God remains and abides faithful. Listen to God's words to the nation of Israel in Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. As they are getting ready to enter into the promised land, the land of milk and honey, the land created for them and laid aside for them and given them by God. He says this in Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are on the face of the earth. And the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord God, he is God, the faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. The Lord keeps his promise. The Lord is the faithful God. And how blessed we are to belong to the faithful God. He is faithful to love you. He is faithful to show mercy and loving kindness to you. He is faithful to forgive you and lead you and provide for you and protect you. He is so faithful beyond belief. And yet we believe, and we can believe, for he is faithful. He's faithful to protect you. He can protect you from this virus. On the other hand, if he desires you to have this virus, he'll make sure you get it, whether you wear a mask and follow the stay away rule or not. God is always faithful. He's always trustworthy in his promises. We read in Hebrews 10:23, Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. If God promises, you can take it to the bank and deposit it, and it's as good as gold. In fact, it's far better than gold. For the promises of God are yea and amen. Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God, in Hebrews 11, verse 10. And in Hebrews 11, 11, through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. God promised Sarah that she would get pregnant at 90 years of age. It was such a ridiculous promise that she laughed in Genesis 18, 12, because she couldn't believe that God would actually do that. But then she judged him faithful. In 2 Corinthians 1, verses 19 and 20, we read, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, or yes and no, but in him was yea, or yes, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God." Why are all his promises a resounding yes? All of his promises. Why? Because he's faithful. He's faithful. He said to Joshua in Joshua 23:14, "Behold, this day," or Joshua said to his people, "Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God hath spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing has failed." God is faithful. He is trustworthy to keep all his promises. And he has kept them all, and he will keep them all to you and me. He's also faithful to forgive. In 1 John 1, 9, we read, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." He is faithful to forgive you and me if we'll bring our sins and confess them before him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Psalm 103. He's faithful to deliver from temptation. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, or verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." God's faithful to deliver you from temptation. And even though we are tested every day of the year of our lives, every year of our lives, I'll get this right, though we are tested and though we are tempted, every day of every year of each of our lives, it doesn't matter our age or what, that the trial of our faith will never go away because it doesn't die easily. But though we are tempted, and it'll never be too much for us, that which comes upon us, we're going to be able to bear. And what might be too hard for us, we shall escape, because he will make a way of escape. We're under the umbrella of his promise, and we have the faithfulness of God to preserve us all the way. Now, he may not remove the trial, but he promises to strengthen and give grace through this trial. And not only will he preserve us unto his heavenly kingdom, but we'll be able to live there for quite a while. You know that? We're going to live in his heavenly kingdom for a while, a long time. It would be amazing to live with God in the beautiful, gorgeous, breathtaking beauty of heaven with the brilliant, radiant light from the throne of God for 1,000 years. Or let's say we would live there for 20,000 years or 100,000 years. But he somehow will enable us to live there for trillions upon trillions times hundreds of trillions of years. In fact, forever. Now, how will he do that? I don't know. I have no idea how God can do that. But he is faithful to his promise when he said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never, never, ever will we perish because he's faithful. The happiest people in the universe are Christians who have died and gone to heaven. Yes, even those who have died of this dreaded virus will be the happiest people to be in the presence of God forever. So then let's be faithful. Let's be faithful. To the persecuted church of Smyrna, Jesus said in Revelation 2, verse 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. That's the word to you and me. We're just to be faithful till the day we die, and then we're going to receive the crown of life. And in Matthew 25:21, we read, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So we just need to be faithful to this God who is faithful. Now, let me switch gears just a little bit and talk about the faithfulness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who went all the way to the humiliation, the degradation, and the agonizing death of the cross. He went all the way for you and me. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus faithfully became the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief for you and me. He was so faithful to the purpose and the plan of the Father that he became the sin offering that would appease the wrath of the Father and that would satisfy the requirement of his justice that one die in our place. Who, being in the form of God, Paul writes in Philippians 2:6, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. That means Jesus emptied himself and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was faithful to the call and the will of the Father, even to be obedient to the point of death. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to serve, and give his life a ransom for many. In the agony of the garden, Jesus submitted to the will of the Father when he cried to God, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, the agony and the unbearable anguish and pain and suffering that he willingly bore for me. It would have killed anyone else to think that he knew what is about to become, that he was about to become the bleeding lamb for all the sin and all the sins of mankind in all the world. What a crushing weight that was being laid upon him. So awful was that day that even the day turned into darkness as the Father turned away from the Son because of the awfulness of the sin that he would bear. God is too holy to look upon sin, and so he must turn away. And at the moment Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The darkness came upon the earth. And he was faithful through it all the way to the end, faithful to the Father, faithful to his calling and purpose, faithful to you for whom he died. in Hebrews 5:7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication and strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and he was heard, and that he feared, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by that which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. So look to him. We think about him. We consider what he has done because of the sacrificial love which was displayed on the cross as the world looked on. Hebrews 12:3, for consider him that endured such hostility of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You see, when you and I think that we've got problems, and we think we've got it hard, then we just can't take it anymore, God says, consider him. But oh, how we like to complain and grumble about our lot in life. And as soon as we get an opportunity, we complain, we grumble about our situation. You know, we're just a generation of whiners and gripers. But what are we complaining about? Do we not have a loving Savior? Are not our sins forgiven? Are not we children of God and heirs of heaven and have eternal life? Is not God on our side in every situation? Are not all the promises of God yes and in him amen? Is not our citizenship in heaven, from which we are looking to the Savior, who will change our vile body that it may be fashioned and shaped in the likeness of his glorious body? Are we not living a dream of all dreams come true? Yes. And we may be going through a very difficult time in our nation's history, and especially in respect to this virus. And yes, we are fearful of this virus. Though we shouldn't be fearful, we can respect it. We need not be afraid. And yes, we are fearful of what will happen to our economy, to our business, to our financial security if this nation goes bankrupt because of how we've closed the economy and borrowed trillions and trillions of dollars. And we have become very weary of it all. We have. I don't know of too many that have gotten tired of all this. But in the midst of this uncertainty and total chaos, how needful and timely it is to consider him. Consider him, lest ye be weary and faint. What about me? Do I live a life of blessing or complaint? Is my life characterized by grumbles and groans or praises and thanksgiving? It's so easy and natural to grumble. When I do so, what am I doing? I'm forgetting God's grace and I'm ignoring his presence, the one who said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm living in the world of me, myself, and I. Do we love him with all our heart and soul and strength and mind? Do you really love him? If we're in love with him, will one always honor him and be faithful? Christ said to the church in Ephesus in Revelation 2:4, I have this against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. You have abandoned the love you had at first for me. God knows precisely how I love him and how devoted I am to him. And he knows precisely how little I love him and how cold my love is for him. He is grieved when we go after other lovers, the idols of our heart, the things that grab our attention and time to where we're just not that interested in God. To the Laodicean church, Jesus himself rebuked the Christians there because they were neither cold nor hot, but lukewarm, and he would spew them out of his mouth. We're satisfied with a little godliness and a little fervency and a little devotion and a little love, but God is not. God loves you and me with everything, and he gave everything. He gave his heaven's best, and he gave God's most precious gift. God gave himself for me that I might be saved, and yet I find it difficult to give myself to him. Wow. What ingratitude, what selfishness and arrogancy, and what a slap in God's face when I go after the idols of my heart, as God had rebuked the people in Ezekiel's day. I believe it's in Ezekiel 14. Oh, may we be so in love with our God and Savior that we say with the psalmist in Psalm 73:25, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none or nothing upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart fails, but God is the strength of my heart, my portion forever. The Lord hath appeared of old, saying unto me, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Jeremiah 31:3. See, God loves me so much. And we love him because he first loved us. And may we enter into that love. Paul writes about that love, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God in Ephesians 3:17-18. So let's just go on for Christ. Let's just love him and be faithful to him and give our all to him and be conformed to him. And that we, like Paul in Philippians 3:10, say that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you. And let me just close with a brief prayer. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercy and your love. Thank you for your promises. Thank you that you are trustworthy. And Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to be loving and give you everything, Lord. Forgive us our sin. And help us to walk with you and honor you and rejoice and give thanks every day of our lives. We thank you for this time we can spend in your word together now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.